How many of you have ever felt like things are hopeless? Maybe you've lost a spouse you've been married to for a long time. Maybe your parents are getting divorced. Maybe your children have just went haywire, went wild, left the Lord and the church. Maybe your business has failed. Be many things that can leave us feeling hopeless. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if you have Christ, there's always hope. And there's lots of instances in the Word of God where even though the case seemed hopeless, Jesus was there, and guess what? He took care of it. And the reason he takes care of it is because he loves us. He loves us. There's one case in the Bible, and like I say, there's many, but there's one case in the Bible that sticks out. And I know you know it. You know the story of Lazarus. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 11 this morning. And you say, well, there's a lot of verses there, Brother John. Y'all don't worry about it. I'm working today. You just take the day off. Amen. Just relax. Y'all just relax. Kick back. And if we need to make it two parts, we might do that. I'll shut up when the Lord says shut up. But I want us to look at this hopeless situation. Can anybody tell me there's no other hopelessness than when someone dies that you love? You feel hopeless, don't you, sometimes? There's nothing you can do when that loved one is laying on his deathbed, knowing that the Lord's going to take that loved one. Doctors, you've tried everything, and you just know, well, he's in the hands of the Lord. But again, with Jesus, all things are possible. And Jesus loves you, even though we have to sometimes go through pain. So, John chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light for him. Verse 11, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of rest, taking rest, of rest and sleep. I'll get right in a minute. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you for allowing us this time to come together this morning to worship you. Thank you for each one gathered here in your sanctuary this morning. Lord, I just thank you that they're here. Pray, Father, you'll bless them for their faithfulness and for wanting to worship you, the living God. And Father, I just pray now as I stand before them and break the bread of life, you'll give me the words to say that you've laid upon my heart and that I'll preach your truth with boldness and authority. And Lord, I just pray you'll encourage your people this morning. Pray, Lord, that there's one here today that needs to make a profession of faith or follow you in scriptural baptism or unite with your local church, just whatever it might be, rededication, whatever it might be, let them come and have liberty today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross to save us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, Word of God says that there's a certain man that was sick. His name was Lazarus. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they lived in Bethany, and they were very, very dear friends to Jesus. Many times, Jesus and the disciples would go to Bethany, and Lazarus and his two sisters would welcome them in the home. They would feed them, fellowship with them. Jesus was very close to these three siblings. Understand, Jesus is very close to you and I as believers. He is our friend. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But anyways, word comes to Jesus. Jesus is out teaching with his disciples, and word comes to them. Mary sends word that, hey, my brother is sick. Come. Now, notice, what did she do? She didn't say, hey, come to the house, and if you can, maybe you can pray and maybe you can help him. No, by faith, she'd seen him work miracles before, and she said, just come. And of course, the lesson is, when we have those hopeless situations in our life, when we go through those, and you're going to have those, there are going to be periods of time in your life and in mine when we are going to feel hopeless. We are going to go through pain, but it's through that pain that we learn to depend on God. What did she do? When her brother was found sick, nigh unto death, she went straight to Jesus. So what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is, if you are going through something in your life and you feel hopeless, you feel that, oh, I don't know what way to turn, I don't know what to do, turn to the Lord. She went straight to the Lord. Sent word, he's dying. Come on. And of course, because they were such good friends, Jesus decides to wait a couple days. You say, why would he do that? Because he loved them and there was a purpose for that. You see, God was going to be glorified. He was going to be glorified. But you say, but I thought they were friends. They were friends. Well, if they were friends, preacher, why didn't he get the fastest horse there in Jerusalem and take off? Because God had a plan. You see, listen, because Jesus is God, Jesus, right where he was, could have spoke and Lazarus could have been healed and rose from the dead. Could have. But, no, he was waiting because he wanted to get the most glory to God. Now, had a friend. It was that Mary which anointed. We know who Mary was. Therefore his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. Anybody ever questioned the Lord when you've been sick, you've gone through those hopeless situations in your life? Lord, I thought you loved me. If you love me, why am I going through what I'm going through? If you really loved me, you wouldn't let me go through this. Can I tell you this morning? God does love you. The Lord loves us. And there's nothing that'll ever compare to that love. You'll never experience greater love than the love He has for you and me. But understand, He loves us, and we go through these things to draw to the Father and to become more and more like Him and to depend more and more on Him. Notice she knew where to go. She found out her brother was sick. Do you know where to go? You see, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. And let me say, how many instances in the Word of God have we read where when there was something going on, whether it was Moses or Hezekiah, they turned it over to God. You know, I remember when Moses led the children out and they had just crossed the Red Sea. Of course, they're in the desert. They were all thirsty. And of course, what did they do? They started murmuring and complaining and blaming Moses. You brought us out here to die. What'd Moses do? He cried out unto God. Lord, these people, I can sometimes relate. Preacher, you preach too long. You're too loud. Folks, you know what I do? I just go to the Lord. Help me, Father. Help me to understand them. Help me to have the compassion you have. Don't let me be like I used to be. Please don't let me be like I used to be. But again, what did he do? He turned to the Lord. When we have a need, I can't stress it enough this morning, always turn it over to the Lord. Hezekiah, I spoke about him. The Assyrians sent a letter. We coming after you, O Israelites. And you're not going to be able to do a thing. We're coming. What did Hezekiah do? Took that letter, went to the temple, and spread that letter out before the Lord and said, Lord, enemy's coming. You're going to have to intervene. And guess what? The Lord intervened. And they got the victory, the Israelites. Again, they knew who to turn to. How about you? Mary and Martha. They knew who to turn to. Now, look at what the Word of God says. It says, when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, what would have been, where would God get the most glory? By healing Lazarus from just being sick, or raising Lazarus from the dead? Raising him from the dead. So, he stayed away for a couple days. Now, notice what it says. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he'd heard, therefore, he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? You know, for the disciples to be there with Christ, witness and see with their own eyes miracle after miracle, it's amazing to me they still didn't quite get it. But before we throw stones at them, aren't we just like them? Oh, we know what he's capable of. But don't we still doubt him from time to time? I can just hear them. You want to go where? You know they want to kill you. And us, probably. And you want to go back? Lord. Hey, the Lord is high and lifted up. He's on his throne. He's always going to be. Nothing's ever going to defeat him. And believe me, hell does not have power over our Lord. And death, he defeated death. He defeated the grave. He defeated sin for you and I. Then after that, let us go into Judea again. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man, any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Jesus is the light. What he's saying to the disciples, hey, if you follow me, you're in the light. There's nothing to cause you to stumble. It's when we walk in darkness that we have issues. And there's lots of folks that choose darkness rather than light, according to the Word of God. And that's a shame. Because there's no reason for it if you have Christ. Now, and then says, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there's no light in him. These things said he, and after that, he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Again, the disciples, oh, he's just resting. He's sick. He's sleeping. They had no clue that he was already dead. But Jesus knew he was dead. Sometimes we old Baptists act like we're dead. Amen? No life in us. Listen, if you have been blood-bought, you are a born-again child of God, you're heir to God's kingdom, you don't have to hold your head down, you don't have to act like you're dead, there's no life in you, because we are alive in Christ. We're alive. Listen, I was dead in sin and trespasses. I was just existing. But then I met Jesus. And he gave me new life. And he rose me from the dead in sins and trespasses to life in Christ Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, I know what living's about. I enjoy life here. But I'm waiting for the next one to come. I'm waiting for the next one to come, because that's where we'll really know what life is about and really live. Amen? Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus had to tell them, guys, he's not taking a nap. He's dead. And the word says, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And then comes good old Doubting Thomas, which is called Didymus, to his fellow disciples. Let us also go that we may die with him. Now, he just told them, if you walk in the light, you won't ever have to worry about stumbling. And here's Thomas. And I know it's easy to pick on him, but how many of us want to admit there's times in our Christian walk we're no different. We doubt. I want to tell you, you ever sit there across from a doctor and he says, I got some bad news. Your heart is given out. You got cancer. And you're already at stage 4. There's not a whole lot I can do to help you. And it's true. I thank God for doctors. God gave them to us. But listen, I know the great physician. He's the greatest doctor there is. And I'm going to trust him. Listen, I've seen the Lord heal people. Notice I said the Lord healed people. I didn't say Benny Hinn. I didn't say Oral Roberts. I didn't say John Richardson or any preacher, because we aren't capable of that. But the great physician is. And it's he that does the healing. I've seen stage 4 cancer be healed. There's living proof right there. Never forget when her and Pop came over to the house. She's just diagnosed. They're both in tears. And yes, I shed a little tear myself. That's my mother. But what did I tell her? And she has the faith. So, Mom, we're just going to trust the Lord. And that's what we did. We prayed and we prayed, and we never stopped placing our faith in the capable hands of the Lord. And there she is. My baby sister. That's two in my family. Breast cancer. Guess what? Cancer's gone. She's taking radiation starting the 23rd just to make sure. But they couldn't find any. It was gone. Again, why? My baby sister and our family trusts in the Lord, the great physician. You say, well, what if he doesn't do that for me? You're going to be healed anyways. If you are touched and the Lord restores you to your health here on this side of eternity, he healed you. But if he calls you home to glory, if you're a born again child of God, you're healed. Amen. He performed a miracle by calling you home. So, yeah, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to waver, because I know who he is. Now, then when Jesus came, he found he that had lain in the grave 4 days already. 4 days. Died. They had his funeral, and they put him in a tomb. And look at what the word says. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. By the way, that's 5 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And by the way, have anybody ever seen a Middle Eastern funeral? Oh, my Lord. They pay people to mourn and wail. I mean, it's not just your family that's mourning the loss of a loved one. They literally have professional mourners that are paid to mourn and wail. And I want to tell you, some of that mourning gets so loud, I can understand how some of them could almost rise from the dead. It's so loud. So loud. And I've often wondered, they're not even related to this person. They don't know this person. How are they able to shed tears like they're shedding? They must be like actors and actresses, cry on demand. But they shed all of that. And that's what happened. They were all there. And then look at this. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. And Mary sat still in the house. Now, Martha goes out to meet the Lord when she hears he's coming. Wasn't it amazing? Mary didn't meet him. She stayed in the house. She may have been still upset over the loss of her brother, or she might have had a little bit of anger toward Jesus because he didn't show up. If he'd have showed up, he wouldn't have died. How do I know that? Look at the, what the word says. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Kind of a little rebuking, but notice Jesus didn't get angry. He understands all about our grief and our pain. You see, in order for us to be saved and for him to be our high priest, he must suffer and understand everything that we go through. And according to Hebrews chapter 2, that's exactly who he is. Think about that for a moment. Lord, if you'd have been here, you wouldn't have died. You ever asked the Lord, Lord, if you'd just been here, I wouldn't have went through what I went through. We've been guilty of that. Can I say something? There's times we've all been guilty of wanting to question the Lord. Anybody says, no, I've never questioned, you are fibbing. We all tend to question him. There's nothing wrong with asking why. But just don't say why and try to find out what his motives is behind asking why. We try to question him and try to put him on the spot. Lord, why'd you do this? Listen, he's going to do whatever he wants to do. But always know this, child of God. It will always be for your benefit. Always. You may not see it, but you got to understand. We live in the now, in the here and now, and in the physical realm, and we think that things should be done just like this. No, no, no. The Lord deals with eternity. The Lord deals with, he sees around the corner. We don't. So, the next time you say, why? You can ask him. But don't pretend to think he owes you an answer. You ever been there? I pastored a church in Arkansas. In fact, it was the last church I pastored back home in Arkansas. I've told you, it's the Corinthian church. But it was a good church. I mean, man, we had great Sunday school, lot for preaching. I mean, I thought, well, Lord, you know, thank you. And then the old devil crept in. And by the way, we're told to be vigilant and sober because our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Don't think for a minute. We've had revival, great, great messages, great responses. We've had lots of people up at the altar. I thank God for that. But listen to me. You can't sit back and take it easy. You have to put on the whole armor of God and be aware. Because Satan is not going to stay back. He's going to creep in if we will allow him and zap our victory. So I encourage you. But I did. I said, Lord, why? Church was growing. People, visitors, everything was great. And then the old devil raised his head and boom. And I even became a little angry with the Lord. I said, that's it. I ain't pastoring. If this is what church is about, nah, don't. Now, Lord, I love you. You saved me. I'll go to church, but don't ask me to teach. Don't ask me to preach. Don't ask me to lead. I'm done. I don't want no part of this. And of course, everybody in Arkansas knows everybody, especially those in the ministry all my preacher, they would come up and say, "What's going on? Why did you leave the church? Why?" And I told the Lord, I said, "You know what? Let's just go west. Nobody knows us. I'm tired of every time, hey, what's been going on?" And I have to tell them the whole story. "Well, I'm praying for you, brother. Get back in the saddle." I'd made up my mind, no. Once you get bucked off two or three times, you get tired of landing on your backside. Amen? So we come out to California. Went to different churches and people. It was amazing going. Nobody knew me from Adam. I didn't know nobody in California. Pastor goes, "Hey, I want you to teach a class." Or, "Hey, I want you to preach." "How do you know I'm a preacher?" And then some of the places we visited one place, remember? We thought it was a Baptist church because it said American Baptist. It was a Presbyterian church. I'm in there and I'm looking at Lori and the kids and we're going, "This ain't right." And that preacher came up to me and said, "Hey, I want you to come and help me." I said, "No, that ain't going to work. No, we don't believe the same." Had his wife bake us a big old bunch of cookies, trying to bribe us. But no. And everywhere I went, I just, nope. And then we end up in Las Vegas. Dear Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, I do praise the Lord. But we end up in Las Vegas and we go to my daughter-in-law's grandpa's church, Lamb Boulevard Missionary Baptist Church. They're BMA. And by the way, you know what the difference between the ABA and the BMA is? How many messengers do you send to a messenger meeting? As far as communion is closed, just like us, it's how many messengers. You see, we send two, they send three. But here is the big difference. You said it was just one messenger. It is, but the big difference is the bigger churches can add to their three, and the little churches can only have three. So there's your difference. You learned something today. I taught you something. Y'all better not go to a BMA church. If you did, they're sound. I don't worry about their doctrine. They believe the way we do. But her grandfather, we visited, good preacher. We decided, okay, we're on that side of town. We're going to join. We joined. And he wouldn't leave me alone. "You got to help me. Help me. I need some help. When I'm out of town, I need you to step in and fill." No. No. Mm-mm. No. You're a man of God. You may be trying to play Jonah, but mark it down. You're going to get the Lord's after you. You're going to get him after you. You better do what he tells you to do. Stop running. He left and went to a meeting conference in Dallas, Texas, and he came back. One of the deacons did the service, and he did a good job. He comes back, looked at him, and I told the Lord, I said, "He's sick. He was just as yellow as he could be." Sure enough, he had cancer of the stomach. Still, that whole time he's going through his chemo, missing church. "Brother John?" "No, Brother Roy. No, Brother Roy." And finally, his daughter-in-law, Courtney's mother, calls me and says, "Preacher is waiting for you. He's waiting for you. You need to get over here because he ain't going to be with us long." Didn't want to go, did I? But we went because he was family. They set him up on the couch. He was laying down and couldn't speak, so weak, but wrote on a pad, "Brother, people are going to hurt us, but Jesus never hurts. Serve the Lord." They carried him back to the bedroom. I went outside and dropped to my knees. And I asked the Lord to forgive me for being rebellious. I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And before I ended my prayer, Lori came out and told me that the Lord had called Brother Roy home. What an example to me. God called him to minister, and even on his deathbed, even before he drew his last breath, he was obedient to the Lord and ministered. I've been preaching ever since, and I thank God. But again, during that time, I was angry. I was rebellious. And I said, Lord, where were you? Martha says, Lord, if you'd have been here, you wouldn't have died. You ever done that? Lord, where are you? He's right with you every step of the way. There is no such thing as a hopeless situation with the Lord. Okay, I guess we will be doing two parts. Notice, now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, 15 furlongs. And Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him. Martha said, Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. But look at verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to you. See, she still had faith that even when Jesus showed up, you know what? Lord, I know you're the Son of God. I know. Even though he's dead and you just got here, you can raise him up. Does that take faith? Would you say she had faith? Guaranteed she had faith. She believed. And by the way, he is the Son of God, but he's also God. And then notice what it says. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Look at what Jesus said. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Have you grasped that, child of God? He is the resurrection and the life. And those of us that have received him as our personal Savior never have to worry. Oh, I'm not saying that we may not die if he doesn't come back in our lifetime. Guess what? We're going to die. But we have eternal life guaranteed through his sacrifice on the cross. He died, they buried him, and he rose again. And that is our guarantee. But notice what else he says. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? There's another thing he's trying to get across. And that's this. Yes. We receive Christ, we have eternal life. Even though we die, we have eternal life. And those of us may or may not taste physical death. If he comes back in our lifetime, that's what I'm praying for. I want the undertaker, not the undertaker. But listen to me. If he doesn't, and I die because of him and what he finished on the cross, I don't have to worry. I'm going to live. And one of the greatest promises is that because I've trusted Jesus and you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, spiritual death, the second death, will never have any power over us. You say, well, what's the second death? What's spiritual death? Eternal separation from God. Thank the Lord, I don't ever have to worry about that. And neither do you if you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. And look at what he says. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You believe? Amen. Amen. You say, well, I do at times, but there's times I struggle. Listen. How much faith does it take to move a mountain? Huh? Size of a mustard seed. Y'all ever seen a mustard seed? They're not very big, are they? But it's trust. And we have to have faith. I mean, you trusted this morning when you came in, when you plopped on that pew, it's going to hold you up. You didn't even give it a second thought, right? You didn't question. You just plop, sit down, go hold me. That's the same kind of faith you and I have to have. Jesus said he was the Son of God. He was the Christ, the Messiah. He proved he was who he said he was when he went to the cross. And our sins, our weaknesses, our frailties, everything, sorrow, everything was placed upon him. And they buried him. But on the third day, the stone was rolled away and he walked out triumphant in victory. And because he lives, we're going to live also. Now, are you going to live with him? That's the question. Or are you going to live apart from him? But you're going to live. Heaven or hell? With him or without him? I'm going to close with this. We'll pick this, the rest of this up tonight. Over in Isaiah, I think it's 43, we were talking about hopelessness. We were talking about, you know, going through things. Can I give you a precious promise this morning? I hope you underline it in your Bible if you haven't already. But in Isaiah 43 and verse 2, Isaiah said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You see, there's no such thing as a hopeless case when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what you're going through, he's there. Just be mindful to turn to him in your trouble. Don't try to take on the situation in your own power or strength. Don't try to trust in man. You trust in the living God. So I, in close, asked you, do you know him? He is the resurrection and the life. Have you called upon him? If not, we're going to give you that opportunity. Maybe you've called upon him, you're saved, but you know, you've had your doubts and you're going through things. I'm going to encourage you, come to the altar. And give him your burden. I assure you, What man says is hopeless is possible with a living God. Amen. Let's have a song. Everybody stand with me. We'll bow our heads and we'll ask the Lord to bless the invitation. Father, thank you for your word and thank you, Lord, who you are. Father, I don't know the hearts of those that are here, but if they're